Welcome to Dialogues with Creators. I'm your host, Barbara Tucker. This podcast is about creativity, and that is a big subject. I firmly believe creativity is in all of us. Creativity is not the same as talent or skill, but it is something we can all cultivate. It is also not confined to one area of life. Creativity is very much like problem solving. Unfortunately, there are many things that become barriers to our use of and expression of our creativity, and distraction is one of them. On this episode, I talk with Dr. Curtis Hill, pastor of Brainerd Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, about spiritual, social, and personal matters around distractions as we explore the question, who are you listening to? Stay with us. Today, we are welcoming Dr. Curtis Hill, more likely called Pastor Curtis, who is the senior pastor at Brainerd Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We've had Curtis on before, and we're just really happy to have him back. I'm going to introduce you now and ask a few questions about your time at Brainerd. So you were at Brainerd previously as associate pastor, correct?
That's right. Coming out of college, I moved to Chattanooga to do some grad school and started attending Brainerd, and really was here about 8 years in different capacities on staff. So it's here until 07 when I moved away.
Okay. And you went to Delaware. How is Delaware different from here?
Oh, there's a lot of different ways. Yeah. I feel like it was, it's kind of in the I-95 corridor. So you're around some pretty big cities with Washington and Baltimore and Philly and New York City. So kind of right in the middle of all that is Delaware. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just a very different area. And the landscape here with all the mountains and all that certainly wasn't the way Delaware was. So there's a lot of differences between Northeast and South for sure.
Mm-hmm. Plus it's small.
It is small, but there were three counties. Yeah. So
I was there in last year, actually, and visiting my family in Maryland, and we were driving through, and I didn't take very long to drive through it. So
it's an expensive drive too, because they have tolls, and it's like a $5 toll to pass through Delaware. So,
oh, yikes. Okay. And so tell us about your family.
Yeah. So I've been married to Shauna. We've been married for 23 years, a little over 23 years, and we have three kids. We got a boy that's 20, daughters that are 17 and 14. So we're kind of in the middle of all that right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so your older daughter, is she looking at colleges?
She is. So she'll be a senior. And we're kind of going through that process of looking and taking some college trips and seeing exactly what's the best fit for her.
Yeah. The fact that you have young people in your family, that I think that really probably informs your work as a pastor, I guess, right?
I think so. Yeah. I think different stages of life, you have different experiences, but it certainly does. And kind of brings you into some of the things they're wrestling with, some of the questions they have. So yeah, I enjoy the season of life. It's not always easy, but I enjoy it. And they're thinkers and are processing a lot. So it certainly pushes me to make sure I'm not giving pat answers or just thinking about things too simplistically.
So you came back to Brainerd in January of 22, is that correct?
January 23, yeah.
So I've been about a year long. Okay. All right. And I know I've enjoyed being under your teaching and everything. So one of the many reasons I wanted you on the podcast is that you have been teaching in Proverbs, and you had a sermon a couple weeks ago that really struck me as being so relevant to the basic topic of this podcast, which is creativity and creative people and what goes into that. And so I wanted to kind of, I don't like this expression, but pick your brain a little bit and ask some questions about it and let you maybe you share some more things, if that's okay.
That sounds great. And,
the first big question I'm going to ask you, though, is what does Proverbs, which was like 3,000 years ago, what does it have to say to believers today? How is it relevant? Why is it relevant?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've read Proverbs probably a good portion of my life, so it's not been unfamiliar. But coming back to it now, it's felt more relevant than ever. I think probably every culture has had its own kind of wisdom ideas of like, these are some wise sayings. So Proverbs isn't unique there. But it's very poetic and has a way of like condensing material into these short sayings. So as I dug more and more in Proverbs and tried to reread through it again and again, I realized it has a lot to say about your success in life. What do you really count as success? And that feels like always a very relevant question. Who do you want to be? Who are you becoming? That, again, always seems like a pretty relevant question. And then the most recent message I preached was on like, where are you finding wisdom and where are you looking for that? And I think, again, all these things, a roadmap for life, all these things seem like these are questions that, again, as you mentioned earlier, my kids are asking, but even people I meet with in church, like they're listening, they're learning, they're trying to pick up things to do life well, to succeed in life. And certainly as a Christian, to live the way God wants us to live. So Proverbs has a lot to say about that, about just doing basic life well. It's in speech and it's in marriage and it's in friendships and it's in money and all these different relationships. So it just has struck me how relevant it is.
Mm-hmm. It's about 20, maybe 30 years ago, I did a deep dive into it about communication. And I wish I'd done something with it. I still have all the notes, but I probably, if I were to go into it now, I would have a whole different perspective different age. But it has so much to say about communication that it's not just don't say bad things, you know, it's much deeper than that.
That's right. Yeah. And it's just timing and it's kind of the cliche of reading the room. You know, it's that, it's also what will build up, what's manipulative about communication. So it really is very, very nuanced and isn't just a tried and true formula as much as it's observing some things in life going, look how that works. And put that into your kind of arsenal, your tool belt of how you process life and how you do life.
Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with the, they're not necessarily promises like salvation promises would be. So they struggle with that. I remember.
I think it's a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. The one, you know, raise up your child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it, which sounds like, oh, you'll never have a rebellious child. Well, that's not really what it's saying.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and that's given people a lot of pause, I think. So, yes, going back to what you mentioned about your recent sermon, you started out with Proverbs 8, and it was the verse that does not wisdom cry out, or it's translated somewhat differently, but wisdom crying out in the marketplace. And it's not just for us a physical marketplace, but it's the marketplace of media and ideas and everything, culture. And it goes on, and does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up your voice? And when you preached on this, it really set some bells off for me personally and professionally and artistically. Our world is so loud. We don't realize it sometimes. And it gets in the way of almost all that's good for us. One of the men who works with us with the Baptist Collegiate Ministries at Dalton State, he just said, this world is not going to help you get closer to God, to Christ. And I was like, yeah, that's absolutely right. So I really appreciated the way you structured the sermons because it wasn't a get off your phones and stop scrolling TikTok.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you could have said to a lot of us. But it was about the why of the whole matter. So you started with the question, who has your attention? Which I think is getting at the heart of the matter, don't you think?
Yeah, very much so. And I think I wanted to start as wide as I could. Because I do think lots of things have our attention. Lots of things are in our ear, but trying at the beginning to just, I think even taking some personal inventory of what voices are we listening to? And again, that feels like a bit more important question than how much screen time do you have? I do think that's an important question. And I feel like that's part of it. But sometimes I'm not on a screen. I'm listening to a podcast, and sometimes I'm watching, you know, watching TV, or I'm listening to music, or I'm watching, you know, so there's just lots of things. And over time you begin to buy into ideas. You begin to find them pretty compelling, and you look forward to episodes, or you look forward to the next book or the next article or the next, you know, thing that hits your inbox. And so really trying to dig into, you know, what has your attention? Who are you just giving access to, you know, your brain, your thoughts, your time, that you're choosing to do that, or not choosing not to do it? You know, it's by default, you're just letting it happen. So I felt like I wanted to start pretty broad on that.
Yeah, I think that worked for me. Part of my work, I teach communication, and one definition of attention is allocation of limited processing resources. And I like that one because our processing resources are limited, both in time and bandwidth, as they say. And we are, when we pay attention to whatever, we're allocating those resources somewhere. They're not infinite. They're not, they're finite, I guess. And what I'm trying to say, so I think it's basic to everything, especially in spiritual growth. So before we get into the point you covered, though, you mentioned podcasts. What are some podcasts you do listen to?
Yeah, it's pretty much all over the map. I was thinking about this, which is why I felt like I didn't want to be a hypocrite in teaching, because I actually, there are a lot of voices in my ear. I'm pretty curious. So like I listened to a couple pastors preach, and they're just good friends that I know. So I kind of hear their voice a little bit differently than maybe a really well-known pastor. I listen to, there's a few theology podcasts that I'll listen to. But then there's a whole range of sports podcasts and even sports media podcasts. That's always interesting to me. And then there's productivity or kind of leadership or management, just in some ways, kind of life management. All those I find pretty interesting. And then there's probably another subset of history or even just cultural analysis kind of podcasts. I try to listen widely enough to go, I don't want to just listen to Christians, because I want to understand how people different from me think, what makes sense to them, how they put ideas together that I may not agree with, but I can appreciate how they got to those places. So again, there's a lot of voices that I think I would, I enjoy podcasts from a lot of different places. So I'm probably subscribed to 40. So,
oh goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot. Not all daily though. I guess they're weekly or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some I'm just going to hit delete, but every now and then they're going to be an interesting one. So.
Okay. Yeah. I have to make a confession that, this is going to sound very un-Baptist, but, this year during the Lent period, I gave up podcasts.
Okay.
And because I found that I was, I don't want to say addicted to them, but I was too wanting them. I was too like falling into that default of, I got to listen to this today, and various ones. And they tended to be, some of them are Christian, some of them are political, et cetera. And I found that maybe I was letting those people see my, control my view of life too much. So for that 40, 45 days, I just didn't listen to any. And so that was kind of weird. And, or good, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't listen to as many now as I did. And I'm a little more careful. I think that maybe sometimes taking a faster break can maybe, change that. But I'm like you. I listen to a variety of ones.
some by Christianity Today, some by some political groups, some by artistic groups, and not too many educational ones because I couldn't have a better work. I don't really want to, do that. But and what are you reading right now?
I got a book on, it's a new one that's come out about Fort Sumter, kind of the beginning of the Civil War. It's by Eric Larson. He's a really good writer. And then I got a book by, he's not a pastor, but he's a Christian writer. I think he's a lawyer, but he's a Christian writer on friendship. And then I picked up and just finished a book on anxiety written from a pastor. And kind of it's been very, very helpful and from the pastoral perspective, but it's a man who's wrestled with panic attacks for decades. So as a pastor, so I feel like it's helped, it's given me a window into some of that. So yeah, again, that would be pretty widely, you know, widely reading as well there.
I've liked what you said in your sermon about how, and I think this is so important, how when you were younger, the sermons, the advice was always don't let your friends mess with you, you know, don't let your friends influence you. And we've seen such a turn in that in the last 20, 30 years because this young people are likely to be, and older people too, likely to be more listening to mass media or media types than they would be to their friends. And that's just so sad, you know, because they're not listening to people who are, like you say, speaking into their life or who know them or have contributed to their lives.
Yeah. And that was a concern just even. So I had had a conversation, and this isn't breaking a confidence, but I had had a conversation a couple of weeks before with a friend who was telling me about this person he listened to, who's not a Christian, but he listens to him, like does not miss an episode. This guy publishes a podcast probably, two times a week for maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours a week. Wow. So I thought that's 4 hours. You don't miss it. So you've become like, this has become really important to you and has like a massive influence on how that person sees the world is now. We're largely shaping how you see the world. So I think some of those, that wouldn't be, I doubt he has a friend that's speaking into his life 4 hours, a week and sharing, hey, this is a good way to think about it. Here's the issues that ought to be important to you. So it just made me realize, wow, where am I doing that as well? Where am I giving all this access to complete strangers who wouldn't know my last name or my first and wouldn't know my kids and wouldn't know what I enjoy doing, but they almost feel like a companion and they're saying, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? Have you framed the issue in this way? So it's just, I do think that, again, people have always read and have always listened to things for a long time, people for even longer. But this is a different way of like, you feel close to that. You hear that voice and it's familiar and now you're taking all that content in.
I don't know if you're familiar with the term parasocial relationships. Have you heard of that?
I have heard of it. I'm not familiar with it though.
One of our professors got her doctorate at a Christian university and she did her dissertation on that. And it's the whole idea that young people think of these people as their friends, and they identify with them, even though those media types or whatever don't know them from Adam's house cat, as you say, but they somehow convince themselves or fall into this idea that this person does care about them. And there's, it's beyond just being a fan. It's a little bit more than that. And I think it's easy to, if somebody says things that you like what they say, it's easy to convince yourself that, they're just like me.
Right. Yeah.
We've got something common.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's can be sad, I think, in a lot of ways. And then the other thing that always I have to remind myself about is with it, when the internet started, you could absolutely just, you could surf and you could go in a lot of different directions. And the whole idea was that this might lead you to some idea over here and it would spread you out. But now in social media, the algorithms are designed to keep you where you are.
Yeah.
If you get my point, you know, like if you start watching those little shorts or TikToks or scrolls or whatever they are on Facebook or YouTube, you'll start seeing the same ones over and over again. Instead of seeing different ones, you'll just see the same people. And it's hard to get out of that. So the algorithms are controlling what you're seeing and they're giving you what they think you want. So that doesn't help either. As far as, you know, even giving you a wider view of what's out there. So it's a little interesting. Yeah. So in your sermon, you had two sorts of guidelines. What could be drowning out unintentionally the good voices, and what godly voices should intentionally be prioritized? And I'd like to explore those. On the first one, just so people can get an idea, how would you distinguish a good voice from a not so good voice?
Yeah. And it's a good question. I think, I'm at least hoping on that, even when I was preaching, that people would be able to, maybe I'm catching somewhere, checking their spirit on something of like, you know what, that's really not helping me. It's not bringing a lot of joy to my life, or I'm becoming a different person. I'm becoming angrier. Every time I turn off that podcast, I'm more and more frustrated, or I'm kind of ramped up. I'm losing my appetite for, you know, people that I love. I'm not at the end of this. I'm feeling even kind of worse. So some of it is just very, very subjective, but I feel like there are voices where you do know, like, boy, every time I hear every time I have that conversation, or every time I listen to that podcast, I walk away I don't know if anxious is the right word, but I don't walk away angry. I feel like this is contributing to me loving others, or I feel like it's contributing to me having a mindset that helps me do good work, or it helps me. So I think where I'm trying to really paint a picture there of, there are things that, you know, are life-giving to you, encouraging, even if they're challenging in a good way, because you're pausing, you're having to think deeply about things. Like, all those are really good voices. And then there's this noise that it's so loud that you don't even have time to listen to the thing that you know it's good for you. You know it's nutritious to you, even mentally or emotionally or spiritually. You know that's good, and you just don't have time for it, or you have less time for it because you've spent it all on that limited attention, like you were describing. Mm-hmm. You spent it all on things that aren't that good.
Yeah. So when you approach that, you've focused at one of the first things that drowns out good voices is, you said, controversy. And that really hit me. I said, I like how he said, yeah, he's so right. We're so drawn into this. It's almost like we can sit and watch people fight.
Yeah.
But we're not in the middle of the fight, but we're just so, let's get in and see what these people are fighting about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's amazing what people can start. I mean, I think of, certain sports talk shows that I've seen.
Yeah.
And how they can get into, oh my word, you know, fights about stuff. And,
And I think sports was like, I mean, everybody knows the political climate is a lot of arguing right now. I'm kind of back and forth, but I think I realized, music and movies and celebrities. So, you know, so-and-so, but such and such, I read where, you know, two rappers are having a ongoing battle and they're writing songs against each other. And then the sports, what you're describing, I was scrolling ESPN and I saw like five of the eight articles were just controversy related. And it just has dawned on me how, and they were silly controversies, you know, as so-and-so said such and such wasn't a great player. You know, it's just silly that, but it was controversy. And then so many of the shows now are this And even the clips that you'll read are someone's hot take, someone's, you know, hey, so-and-so should get fired. So-and-so should be held accountable. You know, it just feels like, and it feeds on it. And I'm not even sure some of those hosts really care. They're just arguing for the point of arguing because it's clicks and it gets eyeballs. And it just reminded me of like, I'm getting sucked into arguments, trying to find the best talking points for a team I don't even care about, players I don't care about. And
yeah.
So I think for me, it's not just political. It's become, again, celebrity, sports, just anywhere where we can pit one against the other, take a side and get ourselves worked up of how stupid the other side is. It's changing and it must work. The formula must work economically. And a bunch of Americans must be coming in, watching and because the algorithm keeps feeding this more and more. So
yeah,
it's concerning. And I don't, spiritually, it's just not healthy because, again, a lot of these arguments are not important and they have no bearing. I think that's what dawned on me of, I could be an expert in a football argument and all the while I could be a bad parent, but somehow I feel better about being in the know on this argument and have the best talking points. So yeah, it's not good for our souls.
No.
And it masks a lot of dysfunction.
And what it also, I see it does is that they might take some controversy between two ball players and somehow broaden it to make it political.
That's right.
Or racial or
yep.
something, that's like, what?
And then his story becomes the response to the controversy. And that, it just keeps going down and down and down.
Yeah. Yeah. Really can it take up a lot of time. And then the other one you mentioned was trivia.
Yeah.
And how did you come to choose that one?
Yeah, both of those are probably just a little self-reflective of, I noticed how when I do scroll or when I do see anything, it feels controversy. And then the trivia, I think I was just even looking at my own patterns, even on podcasts, of going, are there some things here that aren't that important? Or at the end of 4 hours of scrolling, I'll tell you what really dawned on me was, and I was talking to my kids about this for an Instagram or, TikTok, you scroll and there's something important and maybe something meaningful. And then the next thing is a silly cat video. And the next thing is something serious. And then the next thing's an advertisement. The next thing's a joke. The next thing's something silly. And so it kind of flattens out everything.
Yes.
And everything just feels pretty trivial, but you got to keep going back. And I think just conversations I had where, did you hear so-and-so said this? And it's like, man, that really, not to be old or to be, just cynical, but it's like, man, that doesn't matter. That's one thing to have a diversion. But if we're now having 4 hours of diversions over things that really don't, that's beyond a hobby, like going running or taking a walk or walking the dog. Like this is now, you have nothing to show for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you've eaten all this, almost like you've eaten a bunch of cotton candy and it tastes real good, but it provides nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're wired to have some of that, but like, everything can't be a scale of, a 10 on importance, like can't work that way. But I don't think we're made to have just tons of these little things coming at us all the time. And I noticed I was getting sucked into too much of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're right. It's so much coming at us all the time. And are you familiar with the book, Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman? Yeah.
I have a couple of his, but I have read that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that one it was written in the 80s about television, but it's still pretty relevant today as far as that flattening thing.
Yeah.
That's one thing that's like everything is, even on the nightly news, sometimes they'll be doing something that's gravely important. And then the next story is just not important, but it's all in the same breath. It's just, strange. So then as far as you were talking about the godly voices that or we should be listening to intentionally. You brought up the perspective of the fear of the Lord, and I thought that was really helpful. I find that modern Christians get worried about that phrase. It's almost as soon as you say it, you have to say, what I mean is.
Yeah, yeah.
and I wish we'd get past that, because it's so much in the Bible, but we act like it's, we can't have the fear of the Lord. And you had a great definition for it that you gave, and we talked about this after church, which was, you remember the one about affection, I think?
Yeah, I don't have that right in front of me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the gist of it was a reverent affection, I think.
Right.
But and it was almost as if the way a child would go to a father that they deeply love, but also they know, they also deeply revere, but they know that father has the best interest, their best interest in mind. And I think that's, I agree with you of, it feels like the minute you say fear of the Lord, you have to qualify it, or here's what I don't mean. But I think it's just operating with a sense of how God is almighty and all powerful, and it's just the right posture will always be humble before him. I think as you come to know him better and know he is for you, not against you, that doesn't change the awe or the reverence and a realization of who am I. But I do think so. With this message, it was like the voices that recognize that, that operate with, there's an almighty God who's creator of everything, who is going to make all things new one day, who sent his one only son. When you operate with that, that's a different kind of voice in your ear, and that's going to put the world together in different ways than if you don't operate with that. So that feels extremely important. I don't want, again, sports, funny cat videos, you know, even interesting productivity hacks, interesting historical. I don't want to take in so much of that that actually I have no time to hear from someone who has lived under the, you know, in the fear of the Lord, under the submission of who God is. I want to make sure, can I hear those voices? Are they regularly, am I talking to those other human beings even? Do they have a loud voice in my ear? Am I running my problems by them, or just running them through a grid of what I think a podcaster might say? And I feel like that's a switch. That's the godly voice I want to actually prioritize and go, if I'm going to hear one voice, it doesn't have to be the controversial talk radio show. You know, if I'm going to hear one voice, I want to make sure I'm hearing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realized the other day I had listened to a podcast. It was about, it's called the Revolutions Podcast. And I wanted to know more about the Russian Revolution. So I listened to it, and it was like 80 episodes or something. It went on and on. And the fellow really had done his homework, but I got into it and I realized he never mentioned anything about religion.
Yeah.
Or about the church in Russia and how they fit into it. And I thought, well, that's, you know, it was like he was just totally dismissing anything of that kind of area. It was interesting because he told a good story, but it was missing a big part of it. And it was obvious that he didn't have any place for that, you know, even though he had done his homework, I suppose, for the thing. So you had at the end, you had six what I thought were extremely valuable closing steps. Can you go through those? Do you have those in front of you?
I do have those. Yeah.
Okay, great.
And this was some of my way. I kind of had this voice in my ear saying, you know, you've got to apply, because Proverbs doesn't stick with just philosophical level. It gets down mm-hmm. to the groundwork. It's like, my son, do this, do it today. Don't wait. You know? So I think that was my reason for trying to get some of this. So the six things, the first one was that, yeah. And again, I'm speaking as a Christian, my Bible intake has to be consistent. And I wanted to say Bible intake, because I know people take in the Bible in a lot of different ways. So some people, it's going to be very slow, a couple of verses at a time. Other people, listening is very, very helpful mm-hmm. to them. They process things maybe better audio than, you know, reading. Just like, but that Bible intake, it's going to help war against the flesh, because it is going to tell me, it's a trusted voice, and it's going to tell me, it's going to point out things that maybe I don't want to hear, but I need to hear. Mm-hmm. So that's going to always be valuable. And it's not always easy, comfortable, convenient. Sometimes I'm going to have to work. But even in that, there's going to be a payoff. So my Bible intake has to be consistent. The second was, I have to recognize that some sources of wisdom will have significant limitations. And so this is where I kind of applied that idea of the fear of the Lord. So, you know, the podcasters, the books I read, there are lots of helpful things in those. And so I read books by agnostics and atheists and even people. I've read books by Muslims where they're going to have very, very helpful advice in lots of places. But I have to remind myself, their end goal is different. If my end goal is to glorify God with my life, if my main ambition is to know Jesus, if I understand from scripture, I have a goal to make disciples. And if I recognize I have the Holy Spirit present with me, if I realize I have an infinite debt that I couldn't pay before the Lord, all those things drastically affect. So that means if I listen to, so I enjoy a lot that Seth Godin writes, and he's, you know, yeah. I think Rainey's creative and he's fun, and I feel like he has a lot of wisdom. And so I don't want to turn that off. I do want to recognize when he drifts over into matters of eternal importance, I think I'm going to see him having some limitations. And I think that's where I listen to a lady, Barry Weiss has a podcast, and mm-hmm. she's a Jew.
Right.
So her perspective has been helpful. I think she's a really good thinker. And yet there are times where I go like, oh, but she doesn't bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Like,
no,
I think
she doesn't.
She has respect Christianity in general, yeah. But still. So I think that's where I'm like, I want to listen to those voices, benefit from them, glean from a good interviewer. And then even at the end of the day, they'll realize, but we do see a lot of the most important things we see differently. Mm-hmm. So there's just a way for me to go, I want to enjoy wisdom, appreciate wisdom, grow in wisdom. Not, there are a lot of unwise Christians and there are a lot of wise unbelievers, but
yeah,
it was just an opportunity to say that guy that you're listening to 4 hours a week, that doesn't bow the knee to Jesus, his goals are going to be different than yours. And if you don't appreciate that, you could get sucked in. The third thing I said was learning to unsubscribe, unfollow, deactivate, and delete isn't just helpful. At times it will be necessary for my spiritual health. And that was just to give people permission to, I'm not saying you must. I am saying at times I found I needed to because you were saying you for a season for Lent didn't do podcasts. And I've realized at times I just need to start deleting podcasts for the same reason of like, I feel like I'm too dependent. There's information out there I'll miss if I don't get it. So I'm realizing times I've just got to hit delete on the email, even though I think like that'd be interesting. That I'm curious about that. I'd love to hear that interview. At times I've just got to hit delete. And then, so that I feel like is an important part. Fourth was wisdom that has stood the test of time should hold my attention versus what's helpful today. This was
that's some
of my desire. Yeah, it's my desire to read books that are more classics, at least have a place where I read some of that versus, again, Seth Godin will post something every day, which I can benefit from that, but I'm probably going to benefit more from, probably will go deeper, something that's been around for 100 years and has stood the test of time. I wrote number five, I need the wisdom of people I know and trust speaking into my life. So this was, again, yeah, this was my push to go, as much as I love my podcast, you know, and my authors and my newsletters that I'm subscribed to, I need to be proactive about making calls and setting up lunches and asking advice. I think this is, as a pastor, I just go, are we asking advice of someone that knows us? Or do we just kind of listen to a podcast, put it into practice, or read a book and kind of find a money management way of doing things and we just kind of put it all into practice, where do we go to another brother or sister and go, hey, this is what I'm thinking. Does this resonate with you? Because they may know my own tendencies and my own weaknesses. And so I need the wisdom of people I know and trust speaking into my life. And then six would be, I have to continually revisit trusted sources where I know I will encounter God's grace. So this is, again, probably getting back to the godly voices where I know this voice is going to help me appreciate the work of Jesus on the cross. Yeah, his gift of eternal life. I don't know that I'm just going to stumble into those on my podcast feed. I probably have to go looking for those and go, you know, every time I read this guy's post, it is life-giving. It is soul-encouraging. It helps me love Jesus more, want to glorify God. So I think, those were six and a little bit of commentary of why I thought, why those things came to me as important.
Yeah. Yes. I found those extremely helpful. And, especially the fifth one about the personal connection that we are missing. And I don't know if I'm wrong on this, but the other day in church, I went to early service instead of BX, and we shook hands at the beginning of the shook hands and sang like we had done for a million years. And and a lot of us were like, we hadn't done this in forever.
Yeah.
And it was so great.
I think this is the opportunity that the church has, and even something like that of just recognizing like this, what a very human thing to do. Like Christian, you know, human beings have done this since the beginning of time, has greeted each other in a personal way. And yet, and that's where I do appreciate, you know, what church means. It's a community of believers where you are going to have those trusted voices that you know and love. And not everybody's perfect by a long shot, but those voices speaking into you, those are going to be more valuable. You're going to need those more than maybe even my favorite authors, as much as I treasure my favorite authors. And it's not an either or thing, but we've traded community proximity for like distant voices. And I think that's not a great trade if it's a one for one trade.
Well, I wanted to share something. I was listening to a Christian podcast, and the person was interviewing Jonathan Haidt, who wrote a book called The Anxious Generation. And he's an atheist. And that was, you know, they talked about that, of course. And I have not read the book, and I probably won't, because I've read a lot of that research already for work, and I've read a similar book. But because I know what it's about. But he said something that was really stuck with me. He said, if anybody should start to have a collective action to deal with this problem of the phones and the social media and the how it's affecting young people, he said, to me, it seems like it should be the church.
Yeah.
And I said, well, that was a very wise thing for an atheist to say, you know, and it was true. And so that brings us to, you know, what can parents do and what can the body of believers do? Because I really thought he's so right. You know, if we're so concerned about how these things are affecting young people, shouldn't it be the church that's dealing with it instead of, you know, just talking about somebody else?
And I think I heard that same interview. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of his work. Again, he would be a perfect example of like, there's so much wisdom there. And I think he's very good at diagnosing a lot of things and just a helpful voice. I think just even as a parent, I'm trying to, it's not going to be, especially as the kids get older into high school and into college, the kind of get off your phone. Yeah. You're on social media way too much.
Yeah.
Like I find that's almost going to sound like the adults in the Charlie Brown world where it just doesn't land. But I do think we're trying to take opportunities, to go, you know, maybe this thing that went back and forth on a group chat to just kind of stop, pause, and maybe it blew up and people's feelings were hurt, and just stop and try to highlight again. So now we're not just wagging our finger and going, our day, we used to, you know, it's not doing that, but it's saying like, this is not what you want. Look at the silliness of this, or look how she feels bad because she didn't get invited to this thing that got posted. And I think just trying to point out as often as we can, here's where this goes. Here's why this, and maybe some discovery of like them owning for themselves. I mean, two of our kids have deleted their social media accounts.
Cool.
Because they didn't like what was happening to them. And when they take that step, of course, we're trying to support, and they may reload them, you know, but I think just helping to reinforce some of those, their own conclusions of like, I was spending way too much time, or I was becoming someone I didn't like, or it was getting me more depressed, or I was always in my room. And I think we're really trying to push, go hang out with your friends, you know, go get outside, you know, and enjoy just human interaction. And, but it's tough for parents today. I do tell like parents, as long as you can go without giving them a phone, go as long as you can. And then as long as you can hold the line on no social media, hold the line. But it becomes very, very difficult to do because schools are telling them they need, you know, phones and iPads, and
they've
got to download this app for this thing, and they're 11 years old. So it's a frustrating.
Yeah. Even teaching young people in college, they're always saying, oh, use this app and do this, and you got to do, but at the same time, I ask the students, how much are you watching TikTok? And they'll say, 3 hours. And I'd say, you can't do college and do that.
Yeah.
You cannot be successful in this. So you've got to make a choice. And that is a little bit harsh and finger wagging, but it's the reality. You know, they're paying money to come to college and supposed to be, majoring in something, and they can't. It's academically, it's just really bad.
So. Yeah. And again, I feel like, okay, let's say someone's not even into bad stuff, on the internet. It's just the amount and then the quality. So the amount of time and then just the triviality. It does something to us that's not good. And again, it pulls us out of the world of face-to-face human, conversations and a person that knows you and you know them and the back and forth and give and take. So.
Well, Pastor, this has been a fascinating conversation. I'm so thankful that you have agreed to talk with us today. And do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I thank you. I do want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about it further because it's been on my mind. It feels like it's not one of those sermons you preach and kind of file away, but it's something that even as I was preaching it, I thought, like, this is something you have to continually take the pulse on because I think we're going to drift. We're not going to drift toward better habits here. We're going to drift toward lazy habits. Convenience, curiosity is going to win the day, and we're going to get sucked into things. So I think occasionally you're going to have to pull out and go and do an inventory or do a fast to go, where are things? And my body's even responding to, I feel like I need to be here or I'm missing out. I'm not getting that information. So I do think it's something to take inventory, and good things are on the other side of that inventory, I believe.
Yes. Again, thank you so much, and hope you have a blessed day. And I look forward to church this weekend.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening today. I don't always have a conclusion or epilogue, but this time I felt it was time. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Pastor Curtis Hill. If you are a regular listener, you know that these come out about every 2 weeks. There's some expense, and if you would like to help with the expenses, there is a GoFundMe page. That's all I'll say about that. I plan to keep podcasting for as long as folks listen and I can find guests. I would like to thank our producer, Clemencia Villafuerte, for her taking these recordings, most of which are done over Microsoft Teams, and making them sound professional. If you like what you heard today, listen to the other 55-plus episodes and leave us a review. Tell others about us also. Keep listening, and thank you.